Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight. Ohtani is crushing life. The World Cup has been great, and we see a trade in the NHL. But we begin today's show with a trade in the NBA. The Miami Heat land their big fish in Giannis Antetokounmpo, a package of four players led by Tyler Hero, plus three first-round picks. A pick swap and a second-round pick go to Milwaukee's way in exchange for Giannis and Bobby Portis. So, Z, does this trade make the Heat immediate contenders next year and jogs with the Bucks fan base?
So, what does this mean for the Heat, right? You're trading Jacquez, you're trading Hero, you're trading Yakisionis, you're trading a lot of your depth in your bench. You're trading Kal-El Ware. They got the 13th pick in this year's draft, plus two more first-round picks.
13th and 11th, right?
Crazy. Like some absolutely absurd. And for the life of me, I don't know if they got better. Like, yes, like you have Giannis and you have Bam and Wiggins. Is that so much better? Does that make you an immediate contender?
Right now, Vegas has them as the third favorite to win the East.
Does that make you that much better?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I have to trust Riles, right?
They're banking on the fact.
I gotta trust Riles.
It's where
they're not done.
It's where they want to go.
Well, they're not done. I mean, they don't have a team right now.
They
don't have a team. They got three guys. That's all they got. So you got Giannis for this year, and then an additional 3 years. So you've got to imagine in the next 2 years they need to land another player or two.
Yeah, because Damian Mitchell and Norman Powell, plus Giannis, Wiggins, and Bam.
I mean, your front court's okay.
That's fine.
Front court's okay, but I mean, is Giannis going to play? I mean, he's been hurt. We haven't seen Giannis in many years. And, you know, is he going to play? That's the question. What kind of Giannis am I getting here? I mean, you can't be 3 hours late to the team plane leaving on a road trip. Riles is not going to have that shit.
No.
So is he gonna be able to jive in Heat culture? You know, that's not for everybody, man. It's just not for everybody, especially an aging veteran. That's just not gonna fly. You're gonna get cursed out. You're gonna get left behind.
Well, that's the thing. You know, like if we're gonna think about other organizational cultures and veteran fits, the number one that you automatically think of is the Patriot way, right? Not everybody fit the Patriot way. Mm-hmm. But you had guys like James Harrison who came in from Pittsburgh who's like, fuck yeah, this is great. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I want in my career. Then you have a guy like Chad Ochocinco who didn't even make it out of training camp. I think he might,
No. He got to the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
He got to the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. But never a fit. Never a fit. Complete oil and water in that system. So you have to play ball. At the end of the day, this is, again, Giannis wanted to go to Miami. So there's something about Miami that drew Giannis there. Now,
well, I don't know, Z. I mean, have you been to Minnesota? Have you been to Wisconsin? I mean, Miami looks very appealing when you've spent your whole career in the Midwest in October, November, and December.
And that's fair. But when you look at it, right, and you take into account every asset that Miami had to trade to get you, and the team that has diminished significantly because you're there. I'm here. Where is everybody? Like, that's pretty much it, right? You now have to go sign, and we don't know the salary cap implications. You're probably going to have a bunch of guys coming off the street, veteran minimums, 10-day contracts, the whole shebang, right?
I would imagine that their goal here is to get a third guy. They're going to have a big three, right? That has to be Riley's MO here. He's got Giannis. He's got Bam. They're going to be looking to get a third guy. That's what I have to imagine.
They need a guard.
Right.
Who's the guard?
I don't know. I have to imagine that's the route they're going to go. Now, on the flip side, with Milwaukee, I mean, you've got a whole new team just came in. Whole new team. We're going to have trials. make it fast. Like, it's just going to be, you're going to get a whole new team. You've got a whole bunch of draft capital. I mean, nobody could have given you as much as the Miami Heat just gave you. So you're going to have plenty of opportunities to get better in the next couple of years. You send Tyler Hero, who I believe is from Wisconsin. I think he might even be from Milwaukee. That's a 20-point score. I mean, so, what are the level of expectations there right away? That's something you have time with. But I don't know if I would have given up that much for an aging superstar that hasn't played in 5 years. But again... Riley knows way more than I do about building a team, knows more about basketball, knows about Heat culture. So I trust in what he's doing. I got to believe that he knows what he's doing.
Well, with all this draft capital, I don't think the Bucks are done either. Because you acquire 3 first-round picks. Yeah, you can use them. You could. But you can also turn around and put it together in a package for, a player that maybe is wearing out its welcome, like, say, a Ja Morant. Like, if you turn around and say, hey, 2 of these first-round picks could be yours.
Yeah.
Like, you can totally use this capital to your advantage.
Sure.
So the possibilities are there. But in the immediate, you figure the Celtics are better. You figure the Knicks are clearly better. You figure the Pistons... They're gonna slide down, but I would say the Pistons are still a better team right now because they actually have players. I'd even argue the Sixers. I'd argue the Cavs. You're like 6th or 7th.
Orlando
was a huge underachiever this year. I'd put them ahead of you.
The Wizards.
You're in the play-in. Like, dude, you're in the play-in with this trade.
That's why I got to imagine that they're not done. They're not done.
No
way. I don't know what it looks like. Is it a Devin Booker? Is it a Kevin Durant? Is it a Ja Morant? Is it a De'Aaron Fox? Is it a Dame Lillard? I don't know. And I don't necessarily know if it's going to happen now, this year. This seems to me like something that's going to happen next year so that they build, they have 2 years with their big three. That's what I would think.
I mean, the one thing about Dame Lillard is we saw it in Milwaukee. I don't know if they're necessarily eager to get the band back together someplace else.
Well, we know that he wants to go to Miami.
Yes.
We know that. And we know Miami wanted him. Now, yes, he's hurt, but he's been putting out videos of how hard he's working out. Because if you're the Trailblazers, I mean... It behooves you to trade him for anything you can get when you've got a guard coming off of an injury like he came off of.
Yeah. True. I mean, of the three, I mean, De'Aaron Fox would be the cheapest, and he also has the most to prove. Because he's desperately going to want to wash away the taste out of his mouth from that.
I don't know what kind of person he is. I don't know if he's got a dog in him like that.
You know? Can't play that badly. you just can't.
Yeah, I don't know if he's got a dog in him like that, Z. I don't know if that stuff matters to him. I don't know if he really cares about how bad he looked.
I mean, we're certainly going to find out. I mean, the NBA draft has just started, so we, you know, trades have happened in the past. So, I mean, we're looking at the DeBanta, you're looking at Peterson, Boozer, and then Wilson. So there's your top four right there.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
But from one big name on the move, possibly to another, as rumors are swirling that the Celtics are going to trade Jaylen Brown after yet another rift with ownership. Spurs and Rockets are the most discussed potential landing spot. Where do you see the Celtics sending Jaylen Brown?
I don't know. This got ugly, right? I mean, you're talking about a guy who was the finals MVP 2 years ago. He was the guy who was leading this team last year and this year while Tatum's been hurt. And now, they're trying to trade him. They were trying to send him to Miami. And apparently, this isn't the only time they've tried to move this guy. Sorry, he was finals MVP 3 years ago. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. And I don't know, like, if you're going to get top value from him now, because he's a guy that's very sensitive. He takes things really personally. And I just thought this was a guy on the rise. I think, Z, the thing that's interesting to me is we've had this show for a long time, and I said they should have blew up this team years ago. Mm-hmm. And despite me telling them to blow it up, they actually managed to win a championship. They did. But, I mean, I don't know if they really, you know, earned it, so to speak, but they won it. They won a championship. But the value to me has not gone up. It's kind of gone down on it. He's older. And you know he's a 1A, right? He's not the guy. He benefits from another A superstar. So I don't know who's going to be willing to bring him in, knowing that I still got to get somebody else. Now, is it possible that the Heat go and get him too? Now, that would be interesting, right? If they went and got Brown, and now you've got Brown, you've got Giannis, and you got Bam. Okay, right? I like the idea, and we talked about this earlier. I think that they should send him to Golden State. You can do a straight up for Curry, and actually you probably get the Golden State Warriors to throw you a pick or two because of the age gap. But Curry fits more in what the Celtics do right now, right? They're just launching threes. They're just chucking threes. And why not have the best three-point shooter in history on your team? And on this team, he gets to be a true shooting guard. He gets to be a shooting guard. They have a point guard. Jalen White is the point guard. So he gets to be the shooting guard. And then you have Tatum, who's your star. And then everything else just fills in around it. Pritchard's still coming off the bench to supplement both White and Curry. And it just, to me, that makes the most sense to me. You might even get them to throw in Draymond.
I don't know. You have a 29-year-old.
The Golden State Warriors are like the Heat. They are. I mean, I like the Minnesota. Not the Minnesota. They're like the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a reset, buddy. They ain't winning another championship. As nice of a player Curry is, and it's so wonderful, the championships he won. He's won his last championship in Golden State. Okay. Draymond, we've talked about this a number of times. Draymond is good on the Warriors. He's really not going to be good on any other fucking team. So if you're the Warriors, you've got a chance to flip it now. You've seen what Milwaukee was able to do, how they're able to restart. You got rid of Jonathan Kuminga, which that looks like it's going to blow up in your face because he's looking good in Atlanta. It's time to start over. And I think this is the best way to start over. Where do you think he should go?
For immediate impact, you put him on the Spurs. Right? You put him with Wemby and Castle. That's pretty damn good right there. And I think they go toe-to-toe with the Thunder, and I think they beat the Thunder again. So what's it going to take to get him? The guys that we've been talking about, right? The Bryants, the Johnsons, you know, those level players that get you younger. You're not necessarily better, but you are younger, so you can keep this train going longer. Spurs are already young. The Spurs need a veteran who can close. And that's Jaylen Brown. He's a finals MVP, for Christ's sake, right? So you're going to get a guy. Now, there's a guy who can do it. He has done it. And I think that would be an immediate impact. I've also seen the Jaylen Brown to the Rockets as part of a bigger package to get to get Kevin Durant. And I'm like, I understand why you would do that, because you would become less live by the three, die by the three. Like, you have a
little. But they like that. That's their offense.
They like that. That's their offense. But if you have a cold night, or you have a cold series, you're going home.
But they've accepted that, Z. They've accepted that as their fate. We've seen that in the last 2 years. They don't change the script if they're not shooting well. That's what they do. And if we don't do well, we lose, and we live with that. They've shown that's just their offense. That's it.
Yeah, and that is a one-trick pony, and that is not going to get you far.
Diversity, it won them one championship.
Yeah, they got one. They could have had more. You could have had more if you weren't so stubborn.
They're very thick.
If you diversified your offense, you need to have more than one way to score, and we saw that in the finals, right? When you had guys who were willing to drive to the basket, it opens up the shooters. Right? You have the threat, or you can just penetrate and score. Like, you have these things. And 2 points count just as much as 3 points do. Yeah, it's one more, but a basket's a basket. The name of the game is points.
Not their philosophy. They like to bludgeon their opponents.
I understand.
They're not going to change. They're clearly not going to change. Changed now, they're not going to change. That's why I think Curry's the way you're going to go if you're going to keep going in this direction. Or if you're, you know, or I wouldn't do Devin Booker because he's basically the same thing as Jaylen Brown. You need a shooter. You need a shooter for that offense. You need a shooter. That's why Jaylen Brown's good in that offense and he's good for that team, but he ain't a shooter. He's a penetrate guy and he plays defense. We don't care about that.
No, we don't care about that, which is why second row Joe got his chip and he's probably going to be out of a job in a couple years. Can't keep going to this well.
Possibly.
This team will eventually implode on itself. You need to bring in diversity. I understand that's your philosophy, but do you watch Winning Time by any chance?
I have not. I've heard it's a good show.
It's a good show.
Kate Hudson, right?
Say again?
Kate Hudson.
No, not that one. The one with Adrian Brody playing Pat Riley.
Oh, no.
It was quite good. But the whole thing was that it was Paul Westhead and how he was slavishly devoted to the system, his binder. Your system and your binder will only go so far. Teams make adjustments, and eventually you need to adjust too. That's the nature of sports. Sports is a game of adjustments. You can't just go out there and do the same thing every night. That makes you very easy to defend against. And eventually, talent needs to come through.
Well, I think a lot of teams focus on what they're good at. And you've got to try to figure out how to stop them what they're good at. And in this situation,
it's very easy. You're making it very. You're making it much easier.
Well, no, their whole belief is if we're going to lose, we're going to lose because we're not getting our job done. Like that's the way they look at it. It's like you're not going to stop us from shooting threes. The only thing that can stop us is us missing threes, and we're not going to miss threes because we're the best at what we do. And for 2 out of 4 games, that's usually the case. But they're not the 2016 Warriors or the 2014 Warriors. When they're cold, they're cold. And that's it. You know, yeah. So.
And you're going home. If you right. want to extend this, or if you just want to be a nice footnote, keep doing what you're doing. But if you want to have longevity and actually get back to the mountaintop, you're going to have to rethink some things if you're the Celtics. Now, Durant, if you bring him in, you bring in all the baggage that comes with him. Right? That's the thing. Yeah, yes, you could do that. But it becomes, you said this is it for the Knicks, right? You acquire a guy like Kevin Durant, this is it. Like, that is it. Like, you got to go. You acquire a guy like Steph Curry, this is it. This is your window. That is it. You got to win now. And we can't afford to be like, oh, it's just an off night. You can't have off nights now. Your window is fucking this wide open. It is. Once you invest in a 37-year-old Durant or a 38-year-old Steph Curry, this is it. And
see, the only thing I would disagree with that is I think a 38, 39, and 40-year-old Steph Curry will be just fine. He'll just become a spot-up shooter. He'll become like his dad. Stand in the corner. We'll kick you the ball. We'll throw you the ball. Make the shot. I think he could do that. Now, Kevin Durant's a little different because his game is a little bit more fluid in the sense that he dribbles and gets to the basket. He dunks. He's 7 feet tall. He's a good shooter. He's not a great shooter. He's not the guy that we're going to tell to stand in the corner. The Rockets were actually asking him to do a lot more than they should have been asking him to do.
Yeah.
So I agree that if they're going to – the Durant thing doesn't make sense to me because he's the same player as Tatum is. They need a guard, Z. That's it. They need a guard. They need a guard that can shoot. That's what they're going to have to trade for Brown. And like I said, if I'm Brown, I want out. Get me out of here. I don't care where I fucking go. Just get me out of here.
Yeah, how many times do you have to run afoul of management before you realize that, you know, it's not going to fit here? But if they can get a deal done with the Spurs, I think that would be the best scenario for both teams. Because Brown, you're going to the Warriors, that ship is kind of sinking. Like you're a piece of duct tape on a hole. You still have Jimmy, you still have Draymond, you still have those older parts. I don't necessarily think that Jaylen Brown makes them exponentially better. The Rockets, you get veteran leadership. Maybe you move up a little bit in the standings. You had a really good season last year. Can you be better? Sure.
Yeah, but you would agree that the Warriors are going to be better with Jaylen Brown than they are with the current team that they have.
Not by much, but yes. Not by much. But honestly, the best one... The best package I've seen is the Spurs. It's just, are you willing to do it? That's an old-fashioned basketball trade, which the Celtics have never been big on anyway, because if it doesn't benefit the Celtics, they don't care. So
I just don't think that – I don't think those players make the Boston Celtics better. They don't make them better. Me getting all those guys, I don't need all those guys. Like, I'm not really getting better here. I don't need De'Aaron Fox. They have a guard. They need a 1B. None of those guys are a 1B. Or a shooter. None of those guys shoot as well as Steph Curry shoots. Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com. Over to the pitch, as the World Cup has been fantastic so far, Z. Mexico, France, Norway, the United States, Germany, and I believe Argentina, and I think one other team. France. There's one other team. Norway. Norway. I said Norway too. All right. Anyway, are moving on. They're all moving on. So, which other teams have looked good the last 2 weeks?
This has been a very interesting tournament. A lot of draws. The most exciting, the most surprising, Cape Verde. Come on now. Like, they are...
Curaçao tied somebody, too.
Curaçao with a draw.
Egypt with a big come-from-behind victory in their game. It was wild.
They're just the smaller countries, right? Those countries that we thought were also RANs, they're putting up a fight. They're absolutely putting up a representative fight. Ivory Coast had a lead, blew that lead. They looked impressive, couldn't close it. That's a problem. Netherlands has looked They've had moments. Japan has had moments. Spain, we've talked about. I gotta say, like, you're looking at those two countries of Curaçao and Cape Verde, where you're talking about expectations versus reality. Like, that was beyond what you were expecting. Group B, nothing has really stood out. Group C, Brazil has not looked great. Morocco's looked good. Brazil has not looked great. The U.S., they handily beat Paraguay. They beat Australia, but that was just a very mid game from both. That was a very mid performance from both sides. You had the own goal. You had the deflection that popped up in the air that got finished. The U.S. did what they were supposed to do there. Belgium has been a disappointment. You can argue Spain has been a disappointment. And Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal had to put up 5 today to get to kind of, that's what they had to do. So good job there. You got your goal differential game.
I think he's the first player to score in 6 different World Cups. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's an impressive statistic. But, you know, you put Uzbekistan out there, like, you know, we're probably getting at least a break.
A bunch of kids playing with Ronaldo.
Yeah, well, it's there are levels to this, right? And teams that clearly have no business being there are being exposed. But then you have teams that we thought had no business being there. They're putting up a fight. And then you look at a team like Ecuador. You had expectations of them.
Yeah, they're shit.
They're absolutely awful.
Dog shit.
They're not meeting the expectation, right? So you could have a positive surprise. You can have a negative surprise. So...
Yikes.
Yeah. And all in all, for as good as the story is for Cape Verde or for Curaçao, you're looking at Ecuador and be like, what the fuck, bro? England, too. Like,
they tied, right? They tied.
A draw against Ghana. Like, come on. There's some underachieving going on right now. And it's going to come down to the wire for some of these major countries. It's going to come down to Spain versus Uruguay. Like, come on now. It's been interesting from the standpoint that it's been relatively unpredictable. Outside of the few games where, you know, Germany put their foot on Curaçao's throat. 7-1. You know, like that. But when people remembered, hey, I'm the big country, I can do this. But Norway's looked amazing. You're absolutely right. Germany has looked really good. France is France at this point. You know, they're perennial contender. So I'm willing and waiting very patiently to see the outcome of this group stage. And I'm interested to see who the third place teams are that come out of this, because this is going to be once you slough off the Turkeys and the Haitis, which Turkey, Jordan, I'm surprised, Jordan, right? Jordan, you know, once you Tunisia, like once you kind of slough those guys off, now we're really going to start to get into it. Now we're going to see that level of competition ramp up a little bit.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing France play Norway.
Yeah,
that's going to be a good game.
That's going to be huge.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. I mean, you have this juggernaut that is France, but then you also have Holland, who is one of the most prolific scorers out there. Like, how is this gonna go down, right? And we've been waiting for Mbappe to kind of, you know, do Mbappe things and kind of cause rifts with his teammates. We're going to see what happens there, because you know it. You just know it. He's going to want to go toe-to-toe with Holland. You have another prolific striker. Like, it's a dick measuring contest. You're going to want to go in there and say, nah, mine's bigger, buddy. So I'm intrigued by that one. And, I mean, I'm just interested to see how many more Messi's going to get, because he already has the most goals in World Cup history. So just keep padding that on. Meanwhile, you still have Mbappe and you have Ronaldo there too.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very impressed with Messi so far. I was lucky enough to see him score 2 goals. He looks great. He finds an opening. He's on target. He doesn't miss. He picks his spots. I mean, he's like Michael Jordan out there. That's what it feels like when you're watching him play compared to everybody else. I'm a little bit surprised at how well Argentina's playing. You know, they're the defending champions, and I didn't think they would be this good. I don't know, for some reason, I didn't think so. Spain is the one that I have been a little bit disappointed in, but they seem to be coming on now. But it's been great. Like, every game's been exciting. I think the refs have been really good. They're letting them play. They're not falling for the bullshit of them falling and hurting themselves. I think the replays have been super helpful, you know, taking away goals and just being on point with everything. The MetLife Field is just dog shit. The New York, New Jersey field is absolute horse garbage. I'm glad no one's gotten hurt in Texas. I'm glad no one's gotten hurt in Houston. So the Toronto Stadium is beautiful. It's been great. It's been great. It's everything the NFL wants to be. Right? If the NFL played a playoff game at 12 o'clock on a Tuesday, they would have as many people as the World Cup had watching today?
No. It would be very difficult depending on the draw. Because you're getting countries, you know, the draws you're getting, people are still packing it because of the national pride. But no offense to the Carolina Panthers, but they're not getting that. Like, a random ass, you know, Carolina Panthers, Chicago Bears playoff game, I don't know if you're getting. Or Indiana Bears, whatever we're calling them now. But I don't know if you're getting that. But national pride and the global impact of soccer is what's going to carry this through. Now, you're absolutely right. You know, MetLife Stadium, it's the place where ACLs go to die. Just like Atlanta. Like, those are the places, you know, those are the two.
Oh, I liked Atlanta. I thought Atlanta looked good. Houston looked like shit.
No, like, Atlanta looks great. The problem is with the turf, and that's the reason why they've had to, like, switch to grass in a lot of these stadiums, because the turf is what claims everybody's ACL. And multiple players have gotten their ACLs torn in Atlanta. Multiple players have gotten their ACLs torn at MetLife Stadium. So
Achilles tendons.
It remains to be seen. You know, like, that train's never late, and it's gonna be at the worst possible fucking time. But all in all, like, FIFA should be happy with what they put out there. The product, you know, is intriguing, and, you know, especially for the first go around with 48 teams, you figure that there would be a lot more Hades, and there would be a lot more Turkey's, but a lot of teams are holding their own. So that's good.
Outside of Uzbekistan, I think everyone's playing very hard.
Well, you know, you definitely have some teams that kind of realize that they're lucky to be here or just happy to be here and we're just going to, like, ride the wave. But overall, you have to be, you know, you have to be impressed with what you see so far.
Elevate your protein game with Clear Whey Protein Powder. Lactose-free, sugar-free, and refreshingly delicious. Perfect for a flavorful, protein-packed boost. That's Clear with a K. Go to clearprotein.com, enter promo code DNZ for 20% off any product. That's clearprotein.com. Clear with a K.
Something else that happened that was impressive was the NHL also had a trade of its own. Brady Tkachuk is on his way to the Panthers for 3 firsts and a second round pick. So will this trade help the Panthers get back to the Stanley Cup Finals?
Ooh, that's a lot. That is a lot for Brady Tkachuk. Wow.
He's not that good.
That's, wow. That was my first reaction was, wow. Because what is Brady Tkachuk? Who is Brady Tkachuk at the end of the day? Like, he does have skill, right? He had 22 goals last year, 37 assists. As quietly as it's kept because of what you see, the package that the Tkachuk brothers put together, he is a very skilled player. The problem is that the grit and the sandpaper and the, you know, dropping the gloves with Four Nations and all that, you know, looking like Sloth from the Goonies, like that is what you see, right? You see the grit, you see the sandpaper, you see the captain of the Senators. He's going to fit in just fine with the Florida Panthers, right? You have not just Brady Tkachuk, you have Matthew Tkachuk, you have Marchand, you have Sam Bennett, you have Sasha Barkov who can get into it, you have Aaron Ekblad who can get into it. It's going to be a lunch pail team. You're going to earn every single thing you're getting from the Panthers. Oh, and in case you forgot, you have Officer Bob in goal. So there's that. Clearly, they think last year was an anomaly, that it was just an injury blip. So I'm inclined to agree. You can't be that snake bitten with injuries and not expect a little bit of a turn. But I can say with definitive certainty that this is a major overpay. Like that's a lot. That was a lot for Brady Tkachuk. Now, you now put the onus on the team. Like, this is it. Like, once again, this is it. The Hurricanes just won. You can wear them down. You can play Hurricane hockey with the Hurricanes if you stay healthy. You can beat them. You can beat any team in the West. They have a very good chance to get back there. They absolutely do. This team is still loaded. So, while I think it was a massive overpay, it definitely puts them back into discussion for the top of the Eastern Conference immediately.
Well, let's just remember, I mean, the Panthers are no stranger to the Stanley Cup Finals. They've been there 3 times in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they've won it 2 times. So, for me, I think they're loaded and they're gearing up for another run. I like the move. I mean, you can hate Marchand all you want, but dude is a great hockey player. And you're right. They've got an awesome goaltender. And they know, it reminds me of like the Tampa Bay Lightning. They just know how to play good hockey when it matters. I mean, they beat Connor McGregor. They beat Connor McDavid twice, man.
They probably could beat Connor McGregor.
They could beat Connor McGregor, too. Those Florida hockey teams, they don't fuck around, man.
No.
So, no, I like the move. They're going for the jugular. You're pretty much trying to... You got two brothers playing together. they're going to, you know, we got some of that USA love going on there. And let's be real, there's no one out there outside of the Carolina Hurricanes, and I guess the Lightning will be competitive next year too, that are going to stop them.
The only thing you can do is try and run it up on them. Like, you have to try. You can't go toe-to-toe with them. You can't slug with them. Like, that's not going to be the smart play. Your play, and this is why the Montreal Canadiens might have a good chance against them. Speed. Speed, speed, speed. Run it down their throat. Eat all game long. Get them going. Tire them out. Wear them down that way. I think that's the only way you're going to do it, because they're going to want to forecheck. They're going to want to get in deep. They're going to want to assert their physical dominance on you, because it's plentiful. There are plenty of guys on this team who are not only willing to drop the gloves, who are eager to drop the gloves. And two of them are brothers. And then you have Marchand, who will lick your face after. Weirdo. But
gross.
I think speed may end up being how you attack these guys. And I would love to, you know, we'll get Arthur Staple on eventually, and we can talk about this as well. But it's an interesting move. I think that the time is now. The window is cracked open a little bit more, and we'll see how things go, because now that's the biggest name off the board. Now you have to look at a guy like Dylan Larkin. Dylan Larkin wanted out of Detroit. Who's going to go and get him? Right? Those are the big guys. Now, Mike Babcock just got named head coach of the Edmonton Oilers.
Great hire.
Is that enough to satisfy Connor McDavid? Or is he going to get sick and tired of it too? Because Babcock has a ceiling. We've seen it with Toronto. We've seen it in multiple locations, multiple stops now. Mike Babcock only gets you so far. And honestly, I don't know if Chris Knobloch did that bad of a job. Like, how many times he got them to back-to-back Stanley Cup finals? I would say Chris Knobloch did a pretty damn good job.
And he did all that he could do.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, coaches coach and players play, right?
Yeah. So it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a job down the road, but I don't know about this fit.
The Golden Knights should have called him.
Well, yeah, we'll see. But Torts got them pretty damn far. But that's still really, really quizzical. They made their hire too, but I don't know. You had in my opinion, you had the guy there, and you let him go. So I don't know. It's starting to unveil itself. July 1st is when we really have to start paying attention, because that's when free agency starts, and this is the first of many bombshells that will most likely fall in the NHL.
Hypernatural, the best men's polo shirts of 2024 as voted by Men's Journal. Hypernatural offers polos, tees, and button-ups that deliver an unmatched comfort and style, featuring Hypercool Jade technology for natural cooling. Enjoy an exclusive discount with my promo code DANDZ, and that can be used at hypernaturalstyle.com.
Moving over to baseball, Shohei Ohtani, he's just crushing life right now. Last week in a game, he pitched against the Rays, which are the second-best team in the American League East. Year of 7 hits, 4 earned run on his way to a 5-4 win. The game was interesting, though, because he pitched through a bloody blister on his pitching hand, came out of the game, and then he hit. I mean, Z, how much longer will Ohtani bat and pitch in the same game? I think the bigger question is at some point, how do you convince him, dude, we just need you to hit, man? Like, at some point, right? Because father time, injuries, they're just eventually going to weigh him down to, you're not going to be the best pitcher, they're not going to be the best hitter you could be. We really just need you to focus on one. But how do you talk to him? How do you get him to just do one of them eventually?
He's already gone through the UCL procedure too. So you can't say, oh, just wait for the injury and then talk to him then. He's already had the injury, right? He already had it when he was playing with the Angels, when he was playing the outfield. And that's what convinced him, hey, you know, maybe I need to stop playing the outfield. So there's that. What's going to stop him from pitching every day? I think once you see a dip in velocity and teams actually starting to hit him, like there, the conversation might be there, but there's no.
How does that go? It's like, hey man, they're hitting you.
They're hammering the slow crap.
They're hammering the slow crap.
Yeah.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah. Well,
and how, I don't know. I don't think it's that simple. I don't think. Because let's say he's pitching to a 4 or 5 ERA. That's still pretty good, right? That's still in third, this, fourth starter good.
In this day and age of Major League Baseball, a 4 ERA, you're still an all-star.
That's pretty good, right? That's what I'm trying to say. It's like I worry that what's going to happen is he's going to hurt himself trying to do both. You're burning the candle at both ends. And listen, he's the best baseball player we've ever seen. Let's just be real. He's the best baseball player you and I have ever seen. We've never seen anybody pitch as well as he does and then get on the field and then hit as well as he does. I don't know if there'll ever be another Ohtani in our lifetime. But that's great. But at some point, doing one thing is going to hurt doing the other. And I just wonder, how do you convince him? Because I don't think it's as simple as, well, dude, they're hammering the slow crap, or you know, you've got a 4 ERA. You know, I don't. That's what I wonder. Is it a simple thing as, hey, how about you close for us? Is it that? He's only throwing 30 or 40 pitches, maybe not even that many, and we're getting him out of here? Or is it saying, you know? I don't know.
I don't know how that necessarily would work, because with the starter rule, with him in the lineup, you can pinch hit for the DH and you can still have Ohtani in your lineup. Like there's a workaround there. I'm not sure how it would work with him as the DH and then inserting him to close. Like I'm not sure how.
Well, do you know offhand what's the rule now for bringing in a position player to pitch?
It's 10 runs. Like, I think they actually put a cap on there. You need a minimum of 10 runs, 10-run lead. So you have to kind of refine the rules a little bit. Right now, they're using a rule that's been on the books, right? The whole, you lose the DH. Okay. So you have a way to work with that based on rules that are written. I think it's got to be his decision.
I can't imagine a player of his caliber saying, all right, I'm not pitching anymore. I can't imagine that happening.
But here's the thing. A player of his caliber also has an ego as big as the sun.
Right.
So once teams start hammering him, once teams start embarrassing him, once teams start teeing off on him and he can't adjust anymore, like they're taking the splitter. The fastball's down to 93. He may just take it upon himself. And maybe if you're Dave Roberts, that's what you're hoping for secretly, is that it becomes his decision. Because I don't want to make that decision.
Or does it start as, when he's done pitching, it's like, dude, we don't need you to hit, man. Like, it's cool. We'll try to finish this out without you hitting.
You could try. I mean, you could certainly try. I mean, he's hitting 296, 17 homers. Right? Really? Like, we're going to take this bat out of the lineup? We're really going to do that? So that's a hard pill to swallow, for sure. Now, I mean, it's not necessarily going to be this year, but a move that could make it a little bit easier is if you go get Tarik Skubal. Now, Skubal, did you hear his ultimatum to the Dodgers?
No.
So, after a post-game presser, he said that we need to start playing better baseball or else. Ooh, or else. Like, or what is that or else, Tarek? You're going to go to the front office and ask to be traded? You already did that.
He said that?
Yeah, he said, we need to start playing better baseball or else. Now, in the context of the question, it was the veterans being sold off at the trade deadline, which is August 3rd. So he was trying, if you're just looking at the quote, it looks like an ultimatum. If you're listening to the context of it, he's trying to spur the team on to make a run, to kind of dig its way out of the hole. It would behoove them, however, to explore all opportunities to get rid of him. Because there's no way you're re-signing him. Not happening. But having a rotation that's so deep that you don't need Shohei Ohtani to pitch will also do that, right? Once you create the full-on Death Star, you don't really need Ohtani. Yamamoto, Sasaki, Snell, Glasnow, they're getting close. They're getting fucking close. And then you put in Tarek Skubal, it's like, you know what? Shohei, we don't need
you. Why didn't you give him the trophy?
I appreciate it. Thank you, but we're good. We
just
don't
need you to hit today.
Jesus Christ. But this is it. This is the embarrassment of riches that is the Dodgers. And yeah, he's going to do it as long as he wants to do it. You know, that at the end of the day, that's it. As long as he wants to and as long as he's still successful.
Are you okay with that?
Going to have to be. Like, it's his decision. It doesn't affect me one way or another. Like, I still got to get up, put my pants on, go to work. Like, that's, unfortunately, I was not blessed with this level of talent. Like, I got to work for my money.
I smile, I wave my little hat. When do I get paid?
I paid you a little bit more, Jimmy. Could you be a little bit more disgusting?
Certainly use the money.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
Speaking of a guy who could certainly use the money, Brendan Sorsby.
Your boy.
My boy. He will be applying for the NFL supplemental draft rather than playing for Texas Tech this season. Too bad the NFL announced they're not holding a supplemental draft this year. Oops. So where does Mr. Sorsby go from here?
Okay, so researching this, he's not an unrestricted free agent because he never applied for the draft. So he can't be a restricted, he cannot be an unrestricted free agent. He'll have to apply for the 2027 draft and see what happens from there. There's no way around it. Now, Mr. Sorsby's agent or his lawyer will be attempting to sue the NFL and will be talking with the NFLPA.
Jesus.
Only problem is that he's not a fucking NFL player, so the NFLPA could do nothing for him. Where does he go from here? Ah. It sounds like almost like a Terrell Pryor situation, right? It's ugly. It's ugly.
Did Mike Williams sue the NCAA too?
Possibly.
USC Mike Williams?
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about that. You know what? Bravo to the NFL for standing up for themselves in this situation and just canceling the supplemental draft just because he was trying to weasel his way into the league. And it's just like, dude, you've got a gambling problem. You need to get that under wraps before you come and play for the pros. Because you know what? Stupid teams like the Jets would have probably tried to grasp this guy and given up a third or a second round pick. And once he's in the league making millions of dollars manipulating games, there's nothing you could do about it, right? This guy is a potential. I'm sorry, never met him. Just going off of what I've read, this guy is going to be a walking suspension the minute he gets into the league. That's who he's going to be. He doesn't get it. Like, you were trying to find every which way around getting into college football this year. And when that avenue closed, oh, now you want to go to the NFL. Now you want to join the supplemental draft. Mm-hmm. You knew all this stuff was looming. You should have just applied for the NFL draft. So, you know what? If he really does have a problem, then I hope he uses this time to get better. Get better, get through it, attend the meetings, work on yourself, work on your craft. You know, you can do you're not going to have live game action, but that doesn't mean someone's still not going to draft you. Someone's still going to take you. And just work on your personal issues before you come back. Use this as a learning decision. That's what I think he should do.
Now, there are other avenues if he wants to play professional football this season. One's the UFL, which their season is underway. That's not going to happen. Canada. You can go play in the CFL. Like, there's no draft rule there. They can go sign him as a free agent. He can attend a camp. He can get signed to a free agent contract. You could do that. You've had players come out of Canada, right? Doug Flutie went and played in the CFL after college. So it's not the first time that it's going to happen. And it's also not the last time it's going to happen. And it's not the worst idea in the world. Like, you're playing against professionals, right? You're going to learn in a professional setting. What are you necessarily going to get out of beating Abilene Christian week 3? Like, your draft status, you're going to get paid more. I understand that. So at this point, if it's all about the money and it's not about the competition, take the lumps, abide by the suspension, and come back week 3. And ball the fuck out when you get back. Make it such that the Jets have no choice but to take you at number 1 next year. Let's be real here. This is all about the Jets. The Jets were the only team that was going to take this motherfucker in the supplemental
draft. I was like, I can't let this fucking happen. I got to get in the way right now. Cancel the supplemental draft. We've never done that. That's okay. Let's just cancel the fucking thing before they really make a mess of this.
Before they take him with the first overall pick.
They're going to take this kid and just ruin the league.
God damn it. Let's just, we need to save us from the Jets. That's what needs to happen. But that's his recourse. He can go play in Canada, or he can take his punishment and come out a better person if he takes his court-appointed Gamblers Anonymous and court-appointed therapy seriously, if he does the work.
Yeah.
Therapy is good for you, right? It helps you deal with a lot of shit. And you may come out a better person, not to mention a better football player. Those are not mutually exclusive. So, those are your options. I don't know Brendan Sorsby. I don't know him personally. I don't know if he's just going to try and take the easy way out. I don't know him. The indicators, they seem to align with the fact that he's just trying to take the easy way out. Now, we shall see. But if this was the plan, right? If this was plan B, you got to go back to the drawing board and find plan C, because NFL just closed the door.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
Fair or foul? Judging the more messed up stories of the week.
All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either fair or foul. Fair or foul, number one, Joe Burrow is all in on this year. The Bengals have enough to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, I think Joe Burrow is going to probably win comeback player of the year again.
Jesus.
Do they have enough? Yeah, I do. I think they do. I think they do. I mean, I don't see any real big heavy hitters standing in their way. I'm not afraid of the Patriots. I'm not afraid of the Ravens. I'm not afraid of the Steelers. Not afraid of the Houston Texans. So sure, I think it's fair. And a really focused Joe Burrow. I'm not afraid of the Chargers either. A really focused Joe Burrow with all that talent on offense, and now they've kind of gotten a little better on defense with Dexter Lawrence. A little better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, yeah, that's a fair statement, Joe. Go get him.
I mean, that defensive line is really good. Boye Mafe, Dexter Lawrence, Jonathan Allen. You got some players on that side. That being said, Orlando Brown, Dylan Fairchild, Ted Karras, Dalton Risner, and Amarius Mims. Those are the five guys that are charged with protecting Joe Burrow. Those are the guys who are standing between the Cincinnati Bengals and the AFC title game. Because if they have to rely on Joe Flacco, Josh Johnson, or Sean Clifford because Joe Burrow has to miss time, they're fucked. Plain and simple, you're fucked. So Joe Burrow may be all in on this year. I'm saying it's foul. Because I don't know about that offensive line. I was concerned about the defense when they started fucking around with Trey Hendrickson, but they seemed to upgrade a little bit. Now it's about the offensive line. Can they protect Joe Burrow? And signs point to no. Right? How many times he's in Chad Pennington territory in terms of ability to win comeback player of the year?
Again.
And I know that Chad doesn't want it named after him, but again, it should be called the Chad Pennington Comeback Player of the Year. Like, this is a hill I'm going to die on. And Chad, if you're listening, I'd love to have you on the show. Like,
oh, I should reach out to Chad. He'd be a great get.
Chad would be a great get. One of my favorite Jets of all time. Chad and Jericho Cotchery. And of course, Mark Stanchel.
Jericho is good. Mark, are you following me, man? Are you gonna fight me right now?
It's cold now. Why are you sweating?
Why are you sweating, man? Mark, why do you want my parking spot? Oh my gosh. We try to get him on the show. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, nice to get your chest.
Don't come at me, man. I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna mess you up.
Jesus. Oh, I mean, Joe Burrow better be careful. That offensive line will mess him up. That's for damn sure. But, I mean, all things go well. There's no reason why they can't be there. Burrow, Chase Brown, Chase, Higgins, Yosivas, Gesicki. Like, they got the offense. They're building the defense. They just need to keep Joe Burrow on the field. But as of right now, foul. They haven't shown they can do it. Fair or foul, number two, Dusty May ditching Michigan for the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising, especially doing it now, like right before the draft. I mean, listen, I think he won the national championship. His team was stacked. He's full of transfers. I think it gets hard. I think coaching college basketball right now is extremely hard when you have to sit in those living rooms, not only talk about how the player is going to fit into your scheme, but also start talking about how much you're going to pay a college kid to play basketball. And we talked about this before. There's no more continuity in college basketball. You're pretty much getting a whole new team every year. Because the great players are going to go to the NBA. the good players are going to look for more money somewhere else. They're not going to be hanging around trying to win multiple championships like Jalen Brunson and fam did. Like, that's just not what college basketball is right now. So it's possible that Dusty May looked at the writing on the wall and was like, you know what? Got an opportunity now to go to Dallas where expectations are going to be very low. They've got Cooper Flagg. They've got Kyrie Irving. But I got to imagine Kyrie Irving's not going to be hanging around for a college coach. That's for
Welcome
sure.
Welcome to Miami, Kyrie.
Right. And I've got to assume that he was like, you know, I've always wanted to coach in the NBA. And this is my chance. So that's what I'm going to say. So, I mean, college sports isn't what it was. Back in the day, you can be in college forever and enjoy coaching a team like Thad Matta did and like even, you know, Cal and what was it, the Thompson, all those guys. But now it's just like you're going to be...
Izzo never left.
And that kind of play is not going to be around much longer because they're not going to pay you, keep paying players... and you're not winning championships.
Right.
So I'm fair. I think it's fair. I get it. You know, it's not the ideal situation, but I can see how he's just like, I can't do this anymore. You know, it was great the last two or three years, but I gotta get out of here.
I get that. And I think that there are some elements of fairness to this because you're trying to get out before NIL gets worse, before the transfer portal gets worse, because college sports, it's going to get worse before it gets better, 100%. But now, you have a different dynamic, right? You're not going into a family's living room and selling the school. You now have to sell yourself to Klay Thompson. Good fucking luck. How many rings does Klay Thompson have? He doesn't have to listen to you. He's Klay fucking Thompson, right? Like, good luck trying to get Kyrie to buy into your system, right? Good luck getting Chris Middleton to buy into your system. These are veterans, right? And we're seeing this right now, a different sport, but we're seeing this with Tony Vitello with the Giants. Never coached in the minors, never coached above college, and now all of a sudden you're a leader of men. How well is that going for Tony Vitello? How is that relationship with Rafa Devers? Not great. Not great. He sent out a pinch runner, and Rafa was like, I'm not going. Fuck you, I'm not leaving. So, this is a new and uncharted territory. I'm going to say it's fair, because if it's what he wants to do, and they're interested in him, clearly, it's worth a shot, right? Cal went. Patino went. Why not? You know, Billy Donovan went. Eventually, as a competitor, and coaches are competitors, they're going to want to test themselves against the best. They're going to want to test themselves at the next level. More power to them for trying. I just don't think that it is going to be as easy of a transition as he's letting on. While he does have Cooper Flagg, he does have that. He got a lot of veteran tread on this team. And they don't always respect the new guy.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the alleged superstar of the week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And you vote, you vote, you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shot in this year's show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy, D?
I do not.
Wemby. Wemby. Not a great series. Not a great showing. Not a great finish for Wemby. And the lack of professionalism at the end didn't really help you out. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got the current guard on the Boston Celtics with got his jersey on. Jaylen Brown. Finals MVP 2 years ago. Led the Celtics pretty much all of this year because Tatum was hurt. Was the leader. But it seems like the Celtics, they don't need you. They're trying to trade you. So you're not as good as everyone thinks you are and as everyone says you are. And hopefully I get my jersey insurance once you trade it. Jaylen Brown, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two. San Francisco Giants first baseman Rafa Devers.
Ooh.
Giants manager Tony Vitello attempted to pitch run for you in the ninth inning of a game because the Giants were down by a run. And you refused to come out. You waved off the pitch runner. Oh, man. This is Rafa Devers. You are my alleged superstar of the week. You know what? I wish they didn't take you out. I wish they left you in the game, gave you the steal sign. Run, bitch. You don't wanna come out? Okay, get on second, asshole. Rafa Devers, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number three, former Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby. The NFL has said no thank you in your attempt to enter the NFL supplemental draft. They've just simply canceled the NFL supplemental draft.
Take that.
So you can't be in it. Get your gambling habits under control and then try to become a professional football player. There's no way out now. You can sue. You can do whatever you want. But it ain't happening. Brendan Sorsby, you are my alleged superstar of the week. What do you got, Z?
Lots of good choices. You can't really go wrong with a lot of them. I'm going to start with Francie Perron. Now, who's Francie Perron, you may ask? She is a Belgian reporter who is catching flack because Belgian winger Jeremy Doku may leave the World Cup to attend the birth of his child. And she didn't like that. You're leaving in order to cut the umbilical cord. Your country needs you. Wow. That's special. That is special right there. The last time we heard something like this was when Boomer Esiason was talking shit about Daniel Murphy because he missed opening day to deal with the birth of his child. At the end of the day, it is your right as a father to want to be there for the birth of your child. It is your right to put family first. And in my opinion, Jeremy Doku's in the right. He's doing the right thing for him. He's doing the right thing for his family. And Francie Perron, you just have to deal with that. Too damn bad. Francie Perron, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Jazz Chisholm Jr. Oh,
good one.
Jazz Chisholm Jr. playing second base with a lollipop in his mouth, catching Aaron Boone off guard to where he was on Talking Yanks, and he was saying how pissed off he was that he didn't, one, that he didn't see Jazz Chisholm do it, and then that Jazz did it. And they had a conversation afterwards, and it seems to be squashed. Slight problem. This is not the first time Jazz Chisholm has done it. He was actually, he had a lollipop in his mouth at bat against the Red Sox, which could be really dangerous, especially if a fastball comes high and tight and hits the lollipop stick. You're now choking. Well done. Not a great week for Jazz either. Took a foul ball off the groin, wasn't wearing his cup. I was at that game with Mrs. Z, and we were just watching him writhe in pain. It was not a pleasant sight. I turned to her and I said, he's not wearing a cup. Wait, but aren't they supposed to wear cups? He's not wearing a cup. And not only was he not wearing a cup, and he confirmed that, he said he's not going to wear a cup. Smart. Very smart decision, Mr. Chisholm. Ay, Jazz Chisholm Jr., you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, the NHL. Exploring expansion opportunities. And we talked with Neil Schwartz about this. Houston is one of them. Austin is the other one. Yes, Houston is a viable option, but you still have Quebec City. You still have other more traditional hockey cities that you could put an NHL franchise in. No problem with Houston, has an amazing market. We talked about it with Neil Schwartz. We analyzed that. I just feel like you could do a better job of finding the second. Especially when you have Quebec City, Hamilton, Ontario, literally trying to get into this thing. They've been trying for years to get Hamilton, Ontario. They've been trying for years to bring hockey back to Quebec City. But yeah, Austin, Texas. Sure. Keep Austin weird. Fine. Whatever. NHL, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominee.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.